Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Yeah? We ready? Ready? Nice. So if it's your first time here, welcome. I'm Bex, as Luke's already said. And we are 1 week into our 21 days, or 21 ways to pray in 21 days. I know, a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? And so as a community, we are journeying each day with a time of prayer. So week one, our key word has been reflect. Say that with me, reflect. Reflect. It is taking time to reflect something that you do normally. You don't have to, you can nod, you can just sit, just think. Do you allow space to think, to question, and to wonder? But when I was at university, they drilled into me, you need to be a reflective practitioner. That is what they always said to me. Wherever I created, it was write a blog post. What went well? What didn't go well? How could you have done better? Have you got any other feedback from other people, you know, on the things that didn't go very well? How do we stop this from ever happening again? You know, it was like that. And I had to write blog posts, reflection forms, I had supervisions, things that made me get into that place of reflecting. They drilled it into me. I am a reflective practitioner. It was essential. This wasn't something that I could get away from. It's something that I had to do. And so, because I was forced to do it, at first, let's not lie, I was forced to do it. It has then created a rhythm of practice in my life. Sometimes it was great. I came away really encouraged, really enthused, like, yes, I can do this again. And other times I wanted to curl up in a ball and not talk to anyone for a long time. You know, it was a process. It took time. But in me, it formed a habit. And this has allowed me to have time to make sure that I'm on track. That instead of going off on a massive divergence, yeah, I was on track. I was on the right path. It prevented me from getting too comfortable in my own ways. So one of the reasons we have started with this time of partnership and the new year is to help us see where we're at. How on track are we? Where is our trajectory, our path looking, if we are to continue going in the way that we're going? This can be a daunting process for some of us. I know you're thinking, oh no, here we go. But if you are on a journey with God, if you want to be a disciple of Him, if you want to follow in His ways, then this is a position we need to put ourselves in, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable. So Luke has already kindly read Psalm 139 this morning, but we're just going to read the first six verses. And so I've got a lovely person to read out the first six verses for us.
Multitasking. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. Lord, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand.
Thank you. What a woman. Multitasking and sharing the word of God. I love it. I love it. So Nicole's just read from us that from the New Living Translation. So we can read passages like this, written by David, someone who was really good and beautiful with his words, and go, ah, that's nice. That's nice that David feels like that. But let's unpack this together. So here we have David praying to God from a place of real intimacy, a place of real personal knowledge and relationship with God. David is declaring that God truly knows him, is with him, and created him. And I love this quote from Spurgeon, who is a great theologian, and it says, "The Lord knows all things as a matter of course, and not by any effort on his part. He knows us as thoroughly as if he had examined us minutely and had pried into the most secret corners of our being." David recognised this for himself, that the creator of the universe knew him personally. David knew that God loves and cares for humans so much that he would take the time to search to know them personally. Do you recognise this? Have you really grasped that God feels that way about you? In verses 2 and 3, "You know when I sit up, or sit down, or stand up. You know my thoughts even if I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do." David recognised that all of his motions and movements are things that God knew. He had this close awareness. Now, I don't know about any of you, have anyone got an iPhone with my Find My? Anyone use that feature? It's a feature on the phone where you can link with other people so you can follow where they are. So I love it when my mum and dad come to visit. I know when they've hit a certain part on the M4, that is when I boil the kettle. That is when I know to get ready. I know when my husband's coming home to have dinner ready at a time, or he does that for me as well, because we can follow each other. Now, we don't know all the nitty-gritty what's happening in between, but God is better than Find My on my iPhone. You know, he knows us. He knows all the little details. And when Jesus was teaching, as it was recorded in Matthew, he shared that God knows the number of hairs upon our head. Isn't that incredible? God knows the tiniest details about you. I don't even know how many strands of hair I have on top of my head. You know, for any of you that love someone, whether romantically or platonically, have you ever considered to count the number of hairs on their head to show them how much you care about them? I know. Well, I haven't. I've never counted all the hairs on Josh's head. I've never counted all the bits of fur on my cat. But I love them. But how much detail, how much time that has taken God to know these things about us. God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the everywhere present God, knows that about you. In verse 4, David says, "You know what I'm going to say before I say it." Bit scary, isn't it? But David understood that every area of his life, every nook and cranny, God knew about. And he said, "God, you know what I'm going to say before I say it. You know, this should be a challenge for us. God knows what you're thinking before you say it." We all could probably do with being challenged by that and taking some more time to think before we all speak, can't we? But if we truly appreciate that God knows this of us, it should change us. We should be different because of it. In verse 5, it says, "You go before me and follow me. You place a hand of blessing on my head." David knew God as protector. He knew that God was all around him, and nothing could reach him without having gone through God first. You know, and the end of this passage, verse 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand." There is something in our human nature which makes it really hard to sometimes grasp the greatness of what this passage is talking about. But David appreciated that God knew him better than he knew himself. And that is a beautiful, humble place to be. So we could look at these six verses and say, well, that's great. David loves God. God loves David. God knows every little detail about him because he loves and cares for him. Great. Good job, David. And leave it as that. Or we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, through Scripture. Because all of these things that are true for David are true for every believer of Christ. These short six verses say so much. And we can overlook passages of Scriptures and we can say, oh, this, oh, that. But actually, it is true for us too. Praying can be hard. Sometimes we can feel that we don't know what to say. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm rubbish with words. Or, why would God want to hear from me? Sometimes we can feel stuck, struggling to even be motivated to pray. But God has given us a gift. His word, the Scriptures. And in it are thousands of prayers, promises, and truths. And praying in the Word means using the Bible as a foundation and guide for praying. So instead of just talking about our own thoughts and feelings and situations, we can use the Bible to help guide us with what we pray and how we pray it. And it also can help us with our expectations of how God's going to answer them too. So we can do this by reading, quoting, or personalising Bible verses as prayers. So if we were to take the first verse we have looked at, first verse of Psalm 139, and then pray through it, it could look like, Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me, Rebecca. That's my full name. That is a declaration. That is something that I'm saying, God, you've examined me and you know everything about that. And I'm believing that about you. I know that to be true. So I want to invite you to say this verse again with me. And at the end, say your name. It might sound hickledy pickledy. That's okay. But we're going to do it together. Okay? Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me, Rebecca. How did that feel? Is it something that you've done before? Have you put your name in Scripture before? Do you believe what you've just said? This prayer of declaration. There is power in speaking out the word of God. And there is power in also us hearing it for ourselves. It can help build up our encouragement and our faith. Praying in the word can mean reading passages of the Bible and turning them into prayers, either by quoting them directly or paraphrasing them. So there's a great example from Jesus' teaching of the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you pray, pray this. So we can just get comfortable with saying it as a bit of a tick box. Oh yeah, I know the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to say it along with everyone else. Or we can take ownership of it. And we can say, no, my Father God in heaven, your name is holy. We can take ownership and declaration on these things. Praying in line with God's will as well, since Scripture is understood to be inspired by God. We have that. When we are praying in the Word, we are asking to come into alignment with the truths of God. So we can read verses and Scripture like Psalm 139, and then we might pray for a greater revelation of how important we are to Christ. That he would truly show us and that we would truly know how much he cares and loves us. That we would recognise that he is always with us, knowing our thoughts and protecting us. Doing this, using the Scripture to pray in the Word, helps us to align to God's way of thinking. we might all feel quite differently about ourselves. Some of us might be our own biggest fan, and some of us might not be. But dwelling on these thoughts and feelings isn't healthy, and it isn't how God created us. So we can choose to declare out verses such as, I am God's handiwork. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am strong and courageous. I am loved. I am made in His image. I am a new creation. I am strong. I am protected. Anchoring our prayers like this as Christians can help us to be grounded in God's truths and promises when our emotions can run everywhere, can't they? You know, what a difference we can be as parents, as grandparents and aunts and uncles if we are encouraging our little people when they start questioning, oh, I'm not sure how I look, I don't know about this. If we can encourage them, say, you are God's handmade work. God has made you. What a difference we are to shape in the minds of people if we're declaring the words of God rather than the words of society. We are renewing our minds. It talks about that in Romans. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are actively then saying, I'm not going to get into alignment with what the world wants, with what my friends are saying, with what my family is saying, or anything else, but I'm going to get into alignment with what God's saying, what God's doing. We've got to be people who choose to align ourselves with the truth of God. So praying in the Word, it involves us actively reading the Bible thoroughly, going through it verse by verse, asking Holy Spirit, what do you mean by this? What are you trying to say to me through this? We need to actually take the time out to think and reflect and respond in prayer. You know, we can get so caught up in, oh, it's a new year, I'm going to read a passage of scripture every single day and seeing it like a tick box, that we forget actually we are made to dwell in that passage. We are made to sit with it. You know, one of the most beautiful things someone said to me is not to try and read endless amounts, but just read a little bit and then read that verse throughout the day multiple times, is to really let that word nourish us rather than rushing through it. And when we read scripture, we can learn about God's plans, His purposes and desires, and this can help us grow in our faith and knowledge. Through doing this, we are able to listen to God's voice through scripture and also speak to Him in prayer. You know, we love a chat. Lots of people love a chat. And God loves a chat too, but He also loves the listener. He wants us to be able to sit in that place with Him and ask Him, God, instead of me rabbiting on about X, Y, and Z, what do you want to say to me? And He wants to speak to you. He does. You know, if we actually take the time to sit out, God will speak to us. So I'm going to invite you, as you go home, to read the whole of Psalm 139. We've only extracted just a little bit of what God is saying in that whole chapter. It's beautiful, but we have to sit in it to enjoy it. Spend some alone time with Jesus. Read it over lunch as a family. Get your little people to read out verses as well. Involve everyone in this. And take time to read it slowly. Reflect on the words. Reflect on the individual word. Reflect on the whole sentence. And then we can respond to it in prayer. Now, if you are following along with our prayer series, today our reading is the end of this chapter. It is verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This is quite a big thing to pray, actually. But it's a prayerful invitation to let God into our life, to fully surrender everything over to him, to invite him to speak to us, to correct us and align us in his truth and his ways. So I know that sometimes we can hear something in church and think, oh yeah, I should do that. And then we leave and we go, whew, and it just goes out. And we can forget about it and we can be busy. So I want to take some time now, just where we are, to be in silence. I want you to reflect on what I've said this morning. You might decide to read over the 6 verses we've looked at and just keep reading that in the next 5 minutes. Or if you're a faster reader, you might want to read all of it. But I'd say try to challenge yourself with reading a smaller bit and dwelling over it. You might want to think about how it would practically look for you to pray in the Word in your personal relationship with God. Is there an area of your life where you need God's truth in? Are you holding on to God for a situation that you need to declare his truth in? So maybe some of your work is going back and finding all the verses about God saying he is a bringer of peace. Or maybe you need to find the verses about trusting in God through things. Each of us will have different situations which we need the truth of God to speak into. You might want to try praying verses 23 and 24. Bit hard, a bit scary, but you might want to do it in this time. So let's just take a few minutes to be. Feel free to walk around quietly if you're a mover, or if you want to lie down or kneel or sit. Just get in a position where you can reflect without being distracted. And then after 5 minutes, we're going to come back together and we're going to worship God again.